Hello, everybody. It is great to be here one more time today. And my name is Gary Fowler. I'm the CEO, president, and founder of GSD, Get Shit Done Venture Studios, a premier AI and quantum venture studio located in the heart of Silicon Valley. I'm a 17-time serial entrepreneur with several unicorns under the belt. I was on the original management team of Click Software, which was sold to Salesforce for $1.35 billion, and also Evadad AI, one of the first generative AI companies, pre-transformer models. We believe at GSD that intellectual capacity is evenly spread around the world, but opportunities are not. And with that, I have an incredible guest today, Ivan Crystal. He's a managing partner of Czech Founders VC. He's a co-founder and owner of IT Businesses and Montessori Kindergartens, and that's quite interesting. We're going to explore that today. So with that, I'd like to bring Ivan on board. Hi, Ivan. How are you today?
Hello, everyone. I'm doing very, very good. Busy. Tired, but great.
So tell me a little bit about these Montessori kindergartens. How are you making out with those?
What do you want to know? There's a lot to cover, to be honest. And there's a lot of relationship between kindergartens and startups.
Okay, well, yeah, I've seen some of those relationships. So tell us a little bit about it. How did you get started in Montessori kindergartens?
Yeah. Yeah, I like my routines in the morning. And when my girlfriend was off the work, she hated the work she had. I told her, like, take a year off. Don't do anything. Figure it out. She started to take care of other children, and she was doing it actually in our living room. And that's when I said, like, I cannot even enjoy my morning coffee. We need to make a kindergarten. So that's actually how it started. And that was 7 years ago. We now have two of them. And it's a tough business. And one of the things that I see a relationship is that you sort of through that business, you understand the motivation of people, how honest it is. Because my opinion is that, like, children are savages, but they are who we are. And we somehow get cultivated on the way as we grow up. And they give you sort of a window into how the mind works. Of a regular person, without his or her motivation, and this is sort of a thing that I enjoy. I'm not actively involved in kindergarten business. I'm just supporting it anytime they need help with marketing, financials, or these kind of things. But apart from that, it's for me more of an inspiration rather than a regular agenda.
And so as you were going down through the process, what lessons did you learn when you were building the Montessori schools?
You need to understand probably your target audience, I would say. One of the things that I didn't understand at the beginning was that this is a very specific area of business attached to very, like, a specific group of people. Like, moms can be tricky target audience. Because they can be a lioness when it comes to things that they don't like. They can be very picky and very touchy-feely when it comes to certain topics. But also it sort of allowed me to understand that you really need to understand your customer in order to get to the right product market fit or provide a solution that actually addresses a need on the market.
Yeah, it's interesting. So You went down through, I can imagine it's a tough audience. One, you got kids, and then the other thing, you got their mothers, right? Who want their kid the best for their kids. So how do you go down through? You said comparing this to startups. Now, how do you compare this, the Montessori schools, to the startups?
Yeah, actually, one thing that I should mention is that, like, kids are never the problem. Kids are always awesome. It's always the parents that can be a tricky entity to handle in the whole scenario. And I guess the relationship or what I learn from kindergarten is mostly about people. And I guess, like, that's the main topic that we have today, and how they react. What is the motivation? Is it something deeply in you? Is it your inner, a need that you need to address? And for example, understanding why people do things they do. And Montessori is sort of like a topic that is around it as well. It's nowadays, in my opinion, it became sort of like a buzzword that everybody is using. For me, it's just a way of educating attached to a timeline that sort of like addresses your needs at the time. And I give a perfect example of how, in my opinion, it works. And I guess there are some relationships or some connections to the startup world as well. Usually children start to draw with any pencil. And then it becomes for them important to choose a blue for sky, red for a car, and so on. And that's what we do in Montessori kindergarten. We just allow them to have the right tools at a time when they're interested in those tools. And that for me is inspirational. You can take that, and in my opinion, you can find analogies to this in startup world as well.
So when you're going down through it, so you've done that. What's going on with the ecosystem in the Czech Republic and Slovakia? How is it? Where is it today compared to 2 years ago?
Yeah, I guess there. Yeah, we need to divide it and like. And how many years ago again? Sorry. Two, four.
Yeah. 2-3 years ago. I mean, how has it progressed? I know you and I had our last conversation probably a year and a half ago or so, but how's it progressed?
I guess you need to divide it into like Czech and Slovak ecosystem, even though like from your perspective, it's like still like a super small market, even if we put it together. But I guess we need to say like a Czech ecosystem is much further compared to Slovak ecosystem. I would say like a 5-1 is the ratio that I see. But there are some things that are specific for this region, and probably those that would be relevant for the listeners is that you need to understand that we are still in the EU. So there are still some public funding opportunities. And we could talk about that topic forever and if it's good or if it's bad, what happens to the ecosystem.
What does it mean? What do you mean public funding? Like what kind of things are funded? How does it work? Do you start a VC and then it's basically the European Union gives you money for your VC firm, or how does it work?
There are like so many different kind of schemes, and to be honest, I'm lost in them most of the time. But you can apply for grants. There are some, for example, investment vouchers that you can get. But the scheme that, for example, in Slovakia is very common is that, for example, you get 50% of your funding as a VC fund is from the EU, and you need to find co-investors who will be willing to input their money into the transaction. But this is sort of like the most common scheme. And I guess we might have in Slovakia, let's say like a 15 VCs. I think 6 of them are EU funded, or this is a usual scheme that is very common in this area. And this is sort of like in my opinion, an area that steers the whole ecosystem around. I don't think there's much of an update in from the past 2 years. I guess we could say that Slovakia is still waiting for a big exit, like a unicorn exit. Czech Republic, they already have, I think, 3 startups that reached 1 billion valuation. And I'm proud to say that we do have, I think, 4 founders from these startups in our VC as LPs. I guess we are still waiting for big exits, but I would say we are moving forward. And as you mentioned, I think there's a lot of talent and there are verticals that are moving forward. Security being one of them, tech, and then software. For example, I'm not sure if you know a company called Muse. They are a software company for hotels. So there are like good examples of startups from this region who made it, but I do think that we are still waiting for a big exit, a larger scale, but I think we are growing, not as fast as Czech Republic, but I do think we are on the right track.
What about places like Poland? How's the ecosystem in Poland?
Yeah, well, one of the things that I do like when I enter like these sort of like a startup conversation is that I usually say like, listen, I'm a guy who was an entrepreneur, somehow entered the VC business. But I think there is a lot of people who come and they pretend to have a knowledge that they don't. And for me, I don't think I'm the one to understand the Polish ecosystem too much because there is a lot of nuances in these regions. We are very fragmented Europe is as big as USA, but each region is like different. We do have some similarities, but each region is different. For example, Poland, I do know they were able to utilize the EU funding much better, for example, compared to Slovakia. And that could have made like a big difference. We do co-invest with Polish VCs, but I wouldn't feel okay to judge the Polish ecosystem in general.
It's interesting. I was in Gdansk speaking. And we have Polish companies, and it's interesting to see these pockets of opportunity. And then, you know, looking at VCs, US-based VCs, you know, how do they attack the opportunities to find them? You know, it's not so easy. Sometimes it's like discovering a needle in a haystack, right? It's not so easy to find them. But, you know, I think there's and then they're very modest too. That's the other thing. When you talk to them, oh, I don't know, maybe we're this, we can do that. But, you know, sometimes they're so modest, they don't really talk about how great they really are.
And this is another thing, like, for example, when you mentioned that you went to Gdansk, this is something that, like, every time you, in my opinion, like, or anytime we have a discussion about a European country, there are these sort of like a clusters of knowledge, clusters of, you know, excellence happening in that country. And you might be, you know, like put into one of them, not knowing that there is 90% of like a waste or how to call it, like in other regions. Yeah. I can tell that, for example, in Slovakia, we do have those kind of clusters, and I know that it's like always the case. But for example, to understand the local ecosystem in EU or like a Europe in general, you need to, in my opinion, understand like all the demographics attached to that country and maybe politics behind it and so on. So this is like a very complicated discussion that I don't feel okay to have, because I feel like it's very difficult to judge an ecosystem. I struggle to do it with my own ecosystem, because I usually say about myself that I do know a thing or two about a pre-seed. Anytime we want to have a discussion about A-level investments, I feel like I don't know much about them, to be honest. And I feel like anytime I hear people talking about like things that they somehow were in touch with, I feel like, okay, you've been in touch with it, but I don't think you have like an inner knowledge of that topic.
Yeah. So what about the early stage startups? What's it like in Slovakia and the Czech Republic?
Last time we checked, we do have we are called Czech Founders VC, but the thing is that like we used to be one nation for many, many years, and we do have some similarities, connections. We understand each other with the language. So that's why I'm Slovakian, being a managing partner of Czech Founders VC, who is also operating on both Czech and Slovakia. And I'm sort of trying to cover the Slovakian part. And we are, as Czech Founders, we are sort of like, we are sitting on two chairs. We do have like a nonprofit division that tries to monitor what's in the need of the community. And this is actually how we were founded. We asked the question, what do you think is needed? And the answer was like, nobody wants to invest into pre-seed. Everybody wants to be at a later stage when you have traction. So that's why we were born as Czech Founders VC. And that's the other part where we invest. Sometimes what we do is like we ask the community, like, can we put all the transactions that were there, and can we somehow as a community figure out like what's happening in this region? So we do have a documentation that sort of like allows us to have some sort of overview of what's happening in this region. And let's put it this way: I think we see around 1,000 leads from Czechoslovakia in general per year. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would say, like that's the stage of how many people are interested in startups. There's a sort of like this movement that try to improve or like help startups out with, for example, opening up topics like ESOP. This is still a topic that we need to address in these regions, how to make government sort of address this topic. So that startups could actually implement ESOP on a tax legal basis and so on. And there are like all these kind of like a small topics that are happening now. But I would say that that there is a lot of pre-seed early stage deals happening or leads here. There's a lot of capital, I would say, compared to quality leads from this region. So you still can get funding if you are a quality startup. I would say that in pre-seed we still lack something what I attach to sort of being like a second level of founder or someone who was on a C level or some high ranked position in a startup that exited that allowed you to be in close touch with the whole process of the transactions and exit, and that allows you to have a knowledge of how to build your own startup. And this is something that we are on the way, but we are not there yet. I would say Czech Republic is much advanced in this. And apart from that, I guess again, I feel we are on the right track, but I wouldn't say like we are like super evolved. But I do know there is a lot of, for example, scouts coming from the USA. I gathered some info that like a lot of Silicon Valley-based VCs are considering actually having here like a scout. His only role is to find a startup and bring the startup as soon as possible to Silicon Valley to make it happen on a larger scale. So that's another thing that I believe is new or I see as a trend now. And VCs are growing. I would say that's also a thing that now in the pre-seed stage, we are not there alone. There is other VCs that are relevant. And I guess like one of the things that I feel we need to address as well is like when we talk about like what investors read in between the lines or how they analyze things, is that like we need to understand first, like there's like different VCs. And I feel that in this region, in pre-seed stage, the VCs are getting better and better. The deals are smarter. They are also considering, the fact that there is always someone who needs to follow your investment, given that you are investing in a pre-seed stage. So that's why the term sheets and the convertible loans, in my opinion, are getting like a more founder-friendly terms or terms that are considering follow-on investment. So a lot of good things are happening here, in my opinion.
That's great. What kind of companies are the AI companies, or what's the, if you'd say, the bulk of the kind of the companies that you see, B2B, B2C, AI, what are they?
You mean in this region, like
Yeah.
what's the most popular? I guess like one thing that again, like as it attached to demographics, is that, for example, I don't even know like a super successful marketplace from this region, that would be like super successful in the whole Europe, for example. And the reason is like you need masses to build a successful marketplace. And that's why we are sort of doomed to be focused on like a software B2B vertical, I would say. So I don't think you can expect a lot of like marketplaces or e-commerce solutions being super successful from this region. I do think it will be mostly related to software or some know-how attached to like technological advancement that could be sold worldwide without actually, having like a super large proof in the local segment.
So why is it like that?
We're small, but it's also like, and now we are getting to the topic, I guess. I had a discussion with a girl that is managing for Startup Wise Guys. Like, how do you call it? Like, she's in charge of connecting people from the startup segment to investors, like relationship manager, I would say. And one of the things she said, like, interesting thing is that, like, anytime, for example, a startup enters our region and wants to build an Estonian startup, the typical way to do this is that, like, don't even try to focus on like a local segment and try to also prove it, not just by addressing a certain market, but try to have a mindset of a founder who wants to build something global, which means don't look for co-founders in your classroom. Try to look for co-founders, for example, in Germany. Is that an area that you want to address, or is it like a location that you want to go to? Try to find a co-founder there that has insights, that has a network there. And this is sort of a thing that, in my opinion, is not common in my region. And anytime, for example, I see a startup that tells me like, we want to be global and we are thinking globally, and like Slovakia is not a market for us, this is just a test that will be over in two weeks, that for me is awesome. But then when I see that you have two classmates as your co-founders, it sort of tells me like, okay, you didn't go too far to build a global startup and looking for like a global players and maybe diversity in your team. So this is sort of like a thing that, in my opinion, has happened. And that is the reason why sort of like a, you can read in between the lines that the whole global ambition is sometimes just a buzzword to put on a pitch deck, but the track record is not always there.
Yeah, I mean, that's the, you know, we say Silicon Valley is a port to the rest of the world, right? Doesn't matter where you're from. Companies come there to get access to capital, operational expertise, networking contacts. You know, and the other part, sometimes we forget, Ivan, is that storytelling is 90% of building a unicorn. It's not about the product, right? It's about how good the story is. Does it stick? Can people paint pictures with the words? I remember when I took that course at Stanford University, it was quite interesting, right? And sometimes we forget the simple things are important. And the VCs, it's interesting. So do you see many US VCs coming over to the Czech Republic or Slovakia or not?
I've heard rumors, to be honest. Like, it's not there yet, but I've heard that like they're searching for scouts. They've seen some, for example, adverts. They're looking for people who could do scouting in this region. I've heard VCs reaching out to incubators and like a local like stars to reach out to this region. But I wouldn't say like it's there, but I think it's going to be there, or it's going to happen in the near future.
Got it. Listen, we're coming up to the top of the show. We'll have to do another one. It's great having you here. Hold on, we got a couple of questions. Let me just grab those real quick and see who's here. Somebody said, is indeed the pity that there's so little regional cooperation between Polish and Slovak VC banks. So there's somebody.
Maybe this is sort of something that I want to address as well. Like this is the thing. Like I think as the ecosystem grows, you sort of realize that the cooperation is very important. And even now, actually, we were on a deal where we were trying to co-invest something. And what happened was that there was like a one local VC who said like, okay, we want to be in this alone. We want to do it this way. We don't want anybody else. And for me, that was sort of like it's not something you see, in my opinion, like very, very often in like a more developed culture. So I guess it's true. We are not cooperating too much, or as much as we could. So I take that comment as being factual, and I think that's a work that we as a VCs have to do.
And then, it's interesting. So, what is it? Jochin says, I, as a guy who talked to someone from Argentina, India, Tanzania, US, and Spain today, can tell it's very exhausting to be a global player. It is, but it's not for everybody, right? And you got to want to do it. You look at the world and the opportunities, 8.1 billion people. Just in Africa, you got 54 countries and you got 1.1 billion or 1.2 billion people today. So you got to go where the opportunities are. Always seek a guy that was one of the original founders of Sun Microsystems, Scott McNeely, told me, always go to the area you fear the most, you're going to learn the most. It's funny because you're not that far from Poland, right? How long does it take to go to Poland? A couple hours?
Yeah, maybe 5 hours.
Me saying, listen, Georgia, the state of Georgia, right? So, you know, and you see those differences, but part of it is bind together. Look for the similarities and how you can work on deals. Maybe there's not cooperation, but there should be, right? Everybody ought to be, we ought to figure out how to be able to impact the world and impact it in a positive way with technologies that are going to make our lives better. Focus on some of that. I've rewritten a series of articles about that lately. And it's not just there, it's everywhere, right? We got to try to figure out how we can be impactful in things like climate change, med tech, right? Being able to develop things like anti-cancer vaccines very quickly to be able to help us so we can democratize the opportunity everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, actually like a week ago, I was at a conference, which was sort of like a joint project between like three cities, a city from Slovakia, a city in Czech Republic, and a city in Poland. So it's sort of like a triangle that connects university incubators and investors. So there are some projects that are trying to do that. And I think it's like a great activity that we try to support even at Czech Founders and try to promote what they do. We try to source things from Poland, but I guess like it's, we do what we can in our small team of five, but, given the size of Poland, given the market it is, I think it could be better.
Yeah. And I mean, that's one of the reasons that I put GSD together, because it's a democratization opportunity. Use Silicon Valley as a port, find the most incredible companies around the world, bring them to Silicon Valley, curate those companies and create those unicorns like nobody's ever done before. Because you look at it, you know, before we started the show today, we talked about what's important: networking contacts, operational expertise, and access to capital. And if you have a flexible, dynamic team, any company can become a unicorn. You can pivot yourself to success. I've done it. So, you know, I've been doing this, by the way, Ivan, I just was calculating, it's 38 years I've been building companies in Silicon Valley. You know, I started.
You look much younger than you actually are.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing, right? I have a good life. I enjoy my life. So when you go down through and you do those kind of things, you know, we've had a couple of significant exits. Quick Software was sold for $1.35 billion, right? You can go down through. It means that each one of you here can do anything you want if you believe. And in GSD, we now have 160 companies. What we do is we find those companies, we put them in, we work with them, and we give them the Silicon Valley experience. We help change that mindset, you know. And having traveled extensively myself and lived in that region of the world for some time, there's so many opportunities that are untapped. But it's not just there. It's not in the Czech Republic or Slovakia. It's all over the world. Nigeria, right? 260 million people. Some of the best fintech AI companies on the planet. We need to reach out. We need to go to places like Gdansk. We need to go to places outside of Helsinki. We need to go to places in Germany, places where it's conservative, right? And we need to figure out where those opportunities are and help. So one thing I can tell you is that, you know, we create our own destiny. And as a psychologist, I can tell you, we call it the Pygmalion effect, the self-fulfilling prophecy. Get out there, believe in your dreams. If you believe in those dreams, they do come true. It's called the self-fulfilling prophecy. And, you know, we need to go out and focus on it, you know, will it into existence. That's a soft side of building a unicorn. It's never easy. And if it was, everybody do it. It's not a straight line. It's not like you become Elon Musk. Man, he went through it. I thought he was going to, you know, he was so depressed, you know, building his companies because he had so much pressure on it. He took $200 million out of PayPal and invested in those companies. Imagine, you know, having that much pressure, or Twitter. But he's done it. It's not going to be straight line. It is going to be up and down, but keep positive. Stay happy, right? Think about the positive and not being half full.
Yeah. One of the things that I feel like I need to say is that, like, it may sound negative when I talk about like local ecosystems, but I guess like I want to tell a story how we were built. When I onboarded all the LPs, we have now 50 investors at Czech Founders. And when we onboarded them, we actually had like an in-depth discussion with every single one of them. And each one of them wanted to help. Like, when you come to Czech Founders, you need to commit not just the money, but also your time and tell us how you want to help. And people want to help. Our LPs want to help. They want to connect you to the right people. They want you to benefit, and they want you to avoid mistakes that they did when they were making their startup grow. So I guess this is the thing that needs to be said as well, that it's not just about me. It's also like when you reach out, I guess like 95% of people have a very good motivation to help you out. They're willing to do it, and they want to do things with purpose as well. And if you connect these people, they can do amazing things. So I guess like this is something that can change things a lot as well. And I think that's also happening in this region as well. I didn't have too many conversations about when I'm going to see my money back. What's the return model? I mostly had a conversation with our LPs that were related to topics like, okay, I want to see the documentation, and I don't want to have that crazy shit happening in the term sheets that you will provide to startups that we fund, that I had in my previous experience. I want to heal this ecosystem. I want to make it grow, and I want to cooperate. And this is a common topic amongst our LPs, and I think that's something that allows the ecosystem to grow if you cooperate.
Well, I mean, part of the crazy shit stuff I see is that the reason that you see it is because you can't, you know, you go to Harvard or Stanford or Yale or MIT, they're to teach people how to be managers, not how to build startups. And in fact, some of it's entirely opposite. Risk, right? Every day as a startup, you're going down through and risky. You're going to make calculation your brain. How's this going to be? Do I have enough money to be able to cover myself? How can I get more money to be able to grow my company? And you go down through it. But if you look at it, again, on the positive side and keep it positive, good things happen to you. You know, you will it into existence. Bring the good. So go global. Believe in your dreams. I've seen so many companies. Incredible. Look at companies like Flutterwave in Nigeria. They've got, what, a $3 billion valuation now. People are like, oh, I'm never going to go to Nigeria. You know, they're scammers and all this, but they're some of the smartest people on the planet Earth. There's 1.4 billion people, right? Billion in 54 countries.
So, and I guess one thing that I want to say about, I was a judge in this competition. It was maybe 2 years ago in this competition that addressed innovations in Africa. And I felt like I saw some patterns that I saw already in Europe. And in Europe, we see sometimes patterns that already happen in the USA. So it could be considered like a great opportunity for the investor to actually enter a market where something is happening that you already know or have some sort of like a probability of where it's going to go. If it's going to have a one winner, if it's going to have 10 winners, and this is going to be the aspect that's going to make this startup success, or that's what happened in the past, and there's a high probability that it's going to happen in this region as well. So I guess like you could take a look on these things a lot as opportunities that you have some sort of know-how that maybe is not there yet, but they are on the right track, and you can sort of leverage your previous experience from other regions.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's sometimes we forget about that. Take the knowledge that you've garnered and use it into, and sometimes it's done, right? You'll find companies that do copycats, especially copycat companies from, you know, some other company that isn't there yet, and they'll build it and then they'll sell it to that company. Absolutely. The key is get out there. Knowledge is power. Go out there. Show just like this. You know, we've got about 1,000 podcasts out there we've done now. Take a look at it. Talk to people like Ivan. If you got a company and an idea, go out, share your ideas. Don't keep them inside. Share them. Do your customer development. Look at, let people look at the product or service you have. And you'll know that you've gotten it when they start to grab it out of your hands and want to buy it. So anyhow, Ivan, we're coming to the top of the show. Closing thoughts, and how do people get a hold of you?
I'm very happy if you reach out through LinkedIn. You can find me. Go to checkfounders.vc. If you want to contact us, and we do a lot of things that are not like with the goal of earning money. We try to help out the ecosystem. So if you are a startup from this region, feel free to reach out to if you have a topic that you need to discuss, if you have some sort of like a help that you need, We are happy to help. And if it's going to be investable, great. If you just need a feedback or if you need access to the network, we're trying to do that as well. We are building now the incubation program as well. We are trying to include again a lot of founders from this region. So I would be very happy to hear from startups that are actually like on like make napkin ideas. And they need help. Who is there to help than previous founders who already done it, and they can help you to build your own product and project. So if you have anything that you need help with, we are here to help you out. I would be very happy to get connected on LinkedIn or any other way.
That's great, Ivan. Thanks for taking time out of your schedule. And to all my viewers out there, stay happy, stay safe, and stay healthy. My name is Gary Fowler. I'll be back to you again soon with another exciting edition. Take care, everybody. Thanks again. Bye-bye.